Charles Portis is best known for his novels. There have been but five, but they include Dog of the South, True Grit, and Norwood. An Arkansas native, he still lives in Little Rock and is considered by many to be one of the great American novelists of the last century, even if his name isn't as known as some of the other writers who would be put on such a list. Portis' written works extend beyond those novels. He graduated from the University of Arkansas with a degree in journalism and served as a newspaper reporter for the Northwest Arkansas Times, the Arkansas Gazette, and the New York Herald Tribune. During his tenure at the latter, he worked alongside other newspaper types, such as Tom Wolfe and Jimmy Breslin. Charles Portis also wrote short stories, essays, and one play. Much of his journalism and other short fiction have been difficult or nearly impossible to find, until the new book, Escape Velocity, A Charles Portis Miscellany, was published by Butler Center Books this fall. The collection was edited by Jay Jennings, a native of Little Rock. Jay Jennings will discuss the book tomorrow night at Nightbird Books in Fayetteville, beginning at 6 o'clock. This week, Jay told me the process of preparing material written by Charles Portis for public consumption was a labor of love.
I had a big file of stories of his that I'd collected over the years from, you know, a dozen different sources, and I'd occasionally just pull the file out and go back through them and, you know, read my favorite passages, and you know, the file got dirty and tattered, and I had the thought a while back that I would love for them to be in book form, where I could, you know, where I and others would be able to have easy access to them.
Many people, of course, know True Grit, know The Dog of the South,
right,
know Norwood. I think a lot of people who will pick this book up will be either reminded or perhaps even surprised. Yeah, Charles Portis was a journalist. I mean, he's a U of A journalism grad.
Exactly, yeah. And that was one of the surprising things that I learned in doing the book was what an accomplished and acute journalist he actually was in those early times, because the pieces, especially the civil rights coverage from the New York Herald Tribune in 1963, I had never read anything that he'd written for the New York Herald Tribune, and when I went back through the microfilm in New York and began to read that coverage, I was really struck by how amazing that coverage was, that he was right there with some of the greatest civil rights reporters of our day, like Claude Sitton from the New York Times, covering the most, you know, interesting events of that era, like George Wallace standing in the door of the University of Alabama to prevent black students from entering, and the murder of Medgar Evers, and the riots in Birmingham. And I'd known that he'd done some civil rights coverage, but I hadn't known that he had been there with his boots on the ground so close to all the action.
Well, and it's the great thing about having this book now, Escape Velocity, is so many of those articles, whether written by Charles Portis or another outstanding journalist, do kind of get lost into the, you know, only into the workings now of historians or people who are looking through special collections. It's great to have these works back out available to the public.
Exactly. Because I'd done a lot of reading in civil rights literature and history for Carry the Rock, and I'd known that he'd been a reporter, and yet I hadn't read his name in any of these accounts, not even in Diane McWhirter's, you know, book-length account of Birmingham's racial history. And his accounts were some of the most vivid and important reporting that was done. So I was really amazed when I came upon these pieces that they hadn't been anthologized or widely published before.
There are also short stories that I had never seen before, and just this, he could work, it seems like, in any medium, any written word concept, and he always knows exactly the right words and the exact right tone.
I think that's one of the amazing things about his writing, is that it seems so simple and effortless, and yet once you begin to look at it more closely, you see how you see the artistry of it. There's real artistry in making people laugh, you know, with such an easy hand. And one thing that the early stuff told me was that he had that ability, you know, right from the start. It certainly, you know, he certainly refined it and worked on it throughout his novels and throughout his later career when he was writing, you know, short stories and longer journalism travel pieces, especially. But yeah, it's almost a feat of magic. It's difficult to be able to look at it and see exactly how he does what he does, whether it's to make you laugh or to make you see vividly what he's seeing, or choosing just the right word. It's, you know, that's what makes a great writer.
And a playwright as well.
Yes. I'd known about the play, because when I was living in New York, I was sort of coming back and visiting family, and so I was kind of aware of what was going on in Little Rock through my parents and through reading the papers, and so I knew the play existed, that had been performed as a workshop at the Arkansas Rep, but I'd never read it or seen it. So when I got a copy and started reading it, I was, again, amazed at how easily he had mastered sort of dramatic form. And, you know, he always wrote just the most amazing dialogue, so I can see how it wouldn't be such a great leap for him. But even the structure of the play is, you know, is beautifully done.
The play was Del Rey's New Moon.
That's right.
And it wasn't, relatively speaking, it wasn't that long ago that it was workshopped by the Rep. It was in the 90s.
Yeah, it was 96, and they did about a two-week run. And I talked to Cliff Baker, who was the artistic director and you know, founder of the Arkansas Rep, who directed it. And he worked with Mr. Portis on the play, and thought there were, if he wanted to pursue it further, there would, you know, be some things he might need to tinker with. But Cliff told me that he, you know, thought that Mr. Portis was just happy to see it performed and put it aside after that to go, you know, work on other things. But when I read it, I thought it was a really amazingly, you know, fully realized piece of work. And some of the critics who had never read it before and who have reviewed Escape Velocity have felt the same way. And they think it's a sixth major work in addition to his five novels.
It's funny because when I was very young, the first two movies I remember my parents taking me to in the theater were True Grit and Norwood.
Mm-hmm.
So for a long time, when I was an adolescent, I assumed that everybody knew who Charles Portis was. I mean, after all, True Grit,
right.
John Wayne won the Oscar. Then I got older and got in college, and I assumed nobody outside of Arkansas knew who Charles Portis is. It's somewhere in the middle, because there is a legion of fans nationally and internationally.
Right. There seemed to have been a long period in the wilderness where the books were out of print, and they were, you know, much like Portis characters, you know, fans would hoard them, and we were like a secret society, you know, who could bond over these obscure books. But in publishing Escape Velocity, it became clear to me that the fans were a much larger group than I had initially anticipated, and there were so many people who, you know, just place him at the top rank of American novelists. You know, not not just regional novelists or Southern novelists or Western genre novelists, but at the top rank of American novelists, you know, living today. So I was kind of surprised by the depth of the cult and how many people were members of it.
Well, you mentioned a rare interview. He is quite known for not talking and not doing interviews.
Right.
I don't know if the term reclusive is accurate, but that is certainly the popular reputation that has developed around him.
Right. That seems to be, you know, that's kind of the go-to word for describing him. But I think it's more that he's just shy and private, and he wants the work to speak for itself. You know, he's around town. And my comment in the introduction was that, you know, to people in New York and Los Angeles, just living in Arkansas qualifies as being reclusive.
Right, right. You're already half reclusive just by being here. Yeah.
Exactly.
Jay Jennings is the person who edited and put together Escape Velocity, a Charles Portis miscellany. He'll be at Nightbird Books Saturday night. Hey, Jay, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you. I really appreciate it.
Jay Jennings edited the new collection, Escape Velocity, a Charles Portis miscellany, published this fall by Butler Center Books. He's also the author of Carry the Rock, Race, Football, and the Soul of an American City, and is a frequent contributor to the New York Times, the Wall Street Journal, and the Los Angeles Times. He'll discuss his Charles Portis collection tomorrow night at Nightbird Books on Dixon Street in Fayetteville, beginning at 6 o'clock.